so much about bananas in my life as I have this week. All the groups had banana names. We had banana games. We had banana sweeties. We had banana splits. We had what other things? Oh, squidgy bananas. Did I take one up here? No. The kids loved. I saw someone with a squidgy banana. Yeah, do you want to throw it? These were the great hit of the... I suppose they're a stress reliever, supposedly. Oh, squash that. Very good for kids going back to school, not stressing out about it. So bananas, bananas, bananas. And actually, there were some real bananas to eat, which is great because I love bananas. Bananas are amazing, actually. Did you know that bananas can float? Found that out at the quiz on Friday night. They can float. And there are 100 billion bananas eaten every year in the world. Wow. And they're good for you too. They've got vitamin C in them. They've got potassium in them. You've got to get your potassium. And God's designed them for us to eat, for other creatures in his world to eat. They've got skins that mean... I actually have real bananas here while I'm talking. They've got skins that mean they're not just going to get eaten by bugs, totally protected, but then, you know, you can crack it open. I mean, look at that. It's like a perfect handle. Oh, peel it. And then, what do you do next? I love bananas. They're yummy. They're good for you. A great creation. Perfectly designed by God. Now, I've got something to show you here. I wonder how you like your bananas. How do you like your bananas? Huh. Do you like them really not very ripe at all, going on the green end? Or do you like a good, ripened up banana? Any twos out there? I'm interested. Any twos? Hands up for any two. A couple of twos. What about threes? Threes. What about fours? Fours, maybe the majority. Fives? Okay, quite a lot of fives. Sixes? Wow, a couple of sixes. Sevens? Yeah, we've got a seven. We've got one seven in our midst. That is impressive. Okay, do we have a one? Do we have a one? We have a one! This is amazing, a couple of ones. Right, I better not just keep munching on this. They're fantastic. They're delicious in all types of ripenesses. And really, they get browner and browner and riper as the oxygen, the air, gets into that little stalk. It doesn't go through the skin. It goes through that stalk. So put cellophane on it if you want to keep them from not going ripe too quickly. Now, we have been amazingly created by God. Amazing. If you think bananas are amazing, you've got to check us out. God has put 37 trillion cells in our bodies. 37 trillion cells. And every single one of those tiny little cells, they're the tiny little building blocks of our bodies, inside each one, he's put all the information needed to make us exactly how he's designed us to be made. In each cell, what our color of eyes are going to be, our color of hair, the shapes of our toenails, our smiles. God's designed them all perfectly. It's amazing. And he's not just designed our bodies, he's designed us so that we can be pleasing to him, so that we can live for him, so that we can make him happy, so that we can make others happy in this world. Designed to live in his world. But sin has come along and messed us up. It's damaged us. We're not really living exactly how we were designed to live. And that sin's got right inside us. It's not just on the outside. It's got right into the deepest part of us. Now, I know everyone here, if I asked you directly, have you ever done anything wrong? Because I've tested this out with all ages. And everyone agrees and admits that they have sometimes said a bad thing or done a bad thing or thought a bad thing. So I know everyone here accepts that. But we might say, but I'm not that bad. I mean, I've done a few silly things, not very nice things, but I also do a lot of good things. I'm also quite kind to people. So I've not gone that bad. Well, boys and girls, grown-ups, sin has damaged us a lot more than we maybe realize. It's really done some terrible work in us. Sin, that tiny little word, means a terrible, terrible thing. It doesn't just mean doing some bad things. Sin is when we say no to God. I don't care how you designed me. I don't care what you want me to do with my life. This is my life. And we put ourselves first and we push God and others to the side. That's sin. And when God looks into our hearts, into our minds, into the very deepest part of us, he sees what, when we're turned away from him, when we're not trusting him, he sees something not just a bit bashed up. He sees us as rotten. You can take that screen down now because that's not going to help us at all. I need to get something else here. When God looks into our heart, he doesn't just say, oh, there's a few things they need to try and do a bit better. No. Can you see? It's actually really yucky and gooey. This is not my heart, by the way. This is a banana, okay? But, you know, when you look at this banana, you go, oh, yuck, that is disgusting. Look at it. It's just rotten from the very core outwards. It's disgusting. What do you want to do with this? You want to throw it out, don't you? You want to find a bin and dump it into the bin because it's yuggy. Have you guys seen how yuggy this is? It's just absolutely disgusting. Yeah, it's really disgusting. Anyone want that for your packed lunch Tuesday, school? No. We just want to go, oh, yuck. Oh, let's get rid of that. When God looks at our hearts and sees how yuggy they are with sin, how disgusting, he doesn't go, oh, get rid of them. He does something amazing. He actually goes on a rescue mission, sends Jesus to make us new again, from the inside out, to make us absolutely new. And God sent Jesus down into this world, down into, onto the cross and into death, down into a dark pit of death for us, and he made us new. He made us completely new. Now, if only we could do this with bananas. But we can't. And we can't do that with our own heart. Turn it from rotten to beautifully ripe again. Only God can do that with our hearts through Jesus. He can take all the rottenness, Jesus takes it from us and makes us into a new creation. And gives us hearts that love him again, that obey him, and that want to live for him. And I wonder if you have experienced that. I wonder if you know what it is to have the living God come into your heart and make you new. And the great thing about it is, it doesn't just last for a few days like bananas do. It lasts forever. It lasts for all eternity, made new. Yes, we'll make some mistakes and we'll get a bit bashed up by life, but we will always be brand new in Jesus Christ, living how we were designed to live, living for his glory. And that is, wow, that is such good, good news. And that rescue mission that Jesus did in sending his son Jesus, we were thinking about that this week at the Holiday Club, and we were focusing on one verse that many of you will know, John 3:16, our memory verse. And that is all about God sending Jesus to give us new life, life forever.
morning. Our reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, and that's starting at chapter 8, starting at verse 27. And if you've got the church Bibles, it's page 1012. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Amen.
Don't do it, Woody. Where's he going? He's going to the yard sale. No, don't do it, Woody. Why would a perfectly good toy like Woody want to go to the yard sale? He's going down on Buster. He's got Buster the dog. He's about to head down the stairs. And the other toys, they can't understand it. Woody's gone bananas. He's going to a yard sale. You don't run to a yard sale. If you're a toy, you run away from a yard sale. Why is he going to a yard sale? Why would you do that? Well, listen, just before we're going to answer that in a minute, we're going to come back to that story. But I want you to think about the other story here. This is the real story. This is the true story, because there's similarities, I think. Remember Jesus? What we read there? Jesus and Peter just said to him, "Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the King. You're the one that God's promised to send. I know you're the King." And Jesus has just said something to Peter that he thinks is bananas. Jesus has just said to Peter, "You're right. I am the King. And I don't want you to tell anyone." And not only that, then he says, "And I've got to suffer. I've got to be rejected. I've got to be killed. I've got to go to the cross." And Peter thinks, "You've gone bananas, Jesus. That's crazy." Peter says to Jesus what Rex the Tyrannosaurus says to Woody: "Don't do it. Don't do it. Why would you do that? Kings, they don't suffer, they triumph. Kings are not rejected, they're received. Kings don't die, they rule, they conquer. Don't be silly, Jesus. That's bananas." But Jesus insists and says it's just that Peter doesn't understand God's way, God's purpose for Jesus. Doesn't understand it. And in fact, to understand it, you need to go back to Woody. See, why was Woody going to the yard sale? Why was Woody going to the yard sale? Did you realize why he was going? Why was he going? Well, do you know what happens next? I could have shown you the clip, but I'm just going to tell you what happens next. Woody goes down the stairs. He sneaks on the back of Buster, right up to the table where the yard sale is taking place. He jumps up onto the table. He even climbs into the box, the 25-cent box. And all the toys are watching it from the window, and they think that Woody's gone mad. He's gone bananas. He's climbing into the box, and then suddenly he comes out of the box, and what's he got? It's not what's he got, it's who he's got. He's got Wheezy, the penguin, who's lost his squeak, who's broken, who's about to be rejected and sold in the yard sale, and he grabs hold of Wheezy and he picks him up and he gets Wheezy on Buster's back, and Wheezy escapes and suddenly Rex the Tyrannosaurus looks down and he says, "It's not a suicide, it's a rescue. Woody's not gone mad. It's a rescue." And if you know the story, do you know what happens? Wheezy escapes. Wheezy gets back into the toy room, into Andy's bedroom. Wheezy gets taken back home, but in the process, Woody is taken. And Woody ends up being sold in the yard sale. In the yard sale. That wasn't meant to happen. Woody didn't intend that to happen. But actually, with Jesus, that's exactly what happens. Jesus, in effect, says to Peter, "It's got to be like this. I've got to go to the cross. I've got to go to the cross to take your place. I've got to be taken so that you can go free. I've got to be rejected on the cross so that you can be received. I've got to be cast out by God as I take your sins so that you can be brought home." It's a rescue. It's for you. I've got to go to the cross. There's no other way. And it's interesting. Peter didn't get that at the beginning. He thought Jesus has gone bananas. Just like Rex thought that Woody had gone bananas. But later, after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter understood it. It wasn't bananas. It wasn't crazy. It was wise. It was wonderful. It was the most loving rescue that anyone's ever accomplished. And that's one of the things, you know, I often think in the Christian faith, what's the hardest thing for people to understand? Why did Jesus have to die? It looks crazy. Peter's not alone in that, is he? But when you see it for what it is, not suicide, but a rescue for you, for me, so that God can bring us back home to himself through Jesus. That's what Peter saw. Remember the line in his letter? When he realized, when he understood what it was all about, he said, "Jesus died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." It's a rescue. It's the greatest rescue. Jesus had not gone bananas no more than Woody had gone bananas. Just the greatest rescue ever. And of course, we need to do what Peter did. Trust him and tell others too. So let's pray together just as we think about that. We thank you, Lord. There is always so much to learn about you, about your ways. We Thank you, that is true so often, Lord God. Your ways are not our ways, and yet your ways are wise and loving. Lord, sometimes they don't seem that way to us, no more than Jesus' ways than words that day seemed that way to Peter when he first heard them. Thank you that he came to understand. Thank you that he came to see. Thank you that he came to receive that rescue, to trust you, Lord Jesus, as Savior, as Lord. And thank you where that's happened to us and where it hasn't, Lord. Help us to see. Help us to understand. Help us to consider and to keep thinking until we do see. Please give us eyes to see. And please also then give us lips to tell and to share that good news, to share that rescue. Hear us then, and thank you again for all that we've learned and enjoyed in this week and in our time together this morning. We pray in your name. Amen.